Okay, Bernie, Texas, are you guys ready tonight? Hey, I am excited tonight for you to hear from a friend of mine, Pastor Tim Payne. Pastor Tim Payne is the pastor of Momentum Church in Gulf Breeze, Florida. Now listen, you need to know that Pastor Tim Payne goes to the gym to work out, and most places there's not enough weight in that gym for him to work out. He laughs at and mocks and makes charitable contributions so they can add to the weights in their gym. You need to know that Pastor Tim Payne is not only a stud. I mean, look at him shredding this Hope Dealer shirt.
Let's go.
And he's
Let's
got
go.
His heel. Come on, where's the heel? Student ministry.
Let's go.
Right here. Woo. Pastor Tim Payne is a huge University of Tennessee Volunteer fan. He can sing every word to Rocky Top. And despite what you think right now, no, none of his relatives are on the TV show Moonshiners, okay? But he is a man that loves Jesus. He is also blessed to be married to an incredible woman, Miss Stephanie Payne. We are thankful that you let your husband out on good behavior. Jaden and Riley and Gavin are his three incredible kids that he is madly in love with.
Yes.
And he's thankful that they take after their mother.
Oh, they got their looks from their mama.
But 1910, I'm glad you're on your feet. Would you welcome to the stage for the very first time in Bernie, Texas,
Let's go.
A man that loves Bluebell Woo. Ice cream,
yes.
Pastor yes. Tim.
Thank you guys so much. It's an honor to be here. It really is. I'm excited. I love your pastors. Let me start there. Love your pastors. Pastors Jason and Angie are amazing. And I just thank you guys. Thank you for having me. But thank you guys for being faithful. Faithful. Not faithless, but faithful. My wife and I love your pastors. We get to be around them with other pastors, and sometimes we're just chilling, and they are exactly who you think they are. They're the real deal. Yeah. And so I want you to know that you have amazing, amazing pastors. Yeah. And I hope that you love them. I hope you honor them. I hope that you pray for them. I hope you bless them. I mean, we can say it like this. This is the will of God. So thank you guys. I love you. Honored to be here. I love Texas. I love Texas. I wore my boots. I had my Jordans, but I was like, no, I got to wear my boots. I was like, Jordans are boots. Jordans are boots. So I put on some boots, but I love Texas, man. Texas just like came up with all these amazing businesses and companies that got a lot of my money. Whataburger.
Yeah.
Whataburger. When we come to Dallas in the summertime, is it HEB? Is the grocery store? That's right. So we go there and we load up on, what's the red soda? Is it?
Big Red.
Big Red. Yeah, you know, Big Red. Let's go. Come on. Let's see here. My favorite soft drink, Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper. And my favorite food, period. Bluebell ice cream. I love it. I love it. Cookies and cream cone just passed a 35-year-old favorite, which was Rocky Road. So if you haven't tried it, you got to try it. But I'm super excited to be here in Texas with you. Let's pray. Let's start with prayer. And the Holy Spirit's going to do a work tonight. I declare it in Jesus' name. I declare it. We're not fighting. Watch this. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory, from the cross, from resurrection, from the empty tomb that we just celebrated. And so big things are going to happen, but you got to be open to it. The Holy Spirit, you said it, Pastor. You said today, God doesn't just kick the door down. He'll knock on the door of your heart. He can, and he knows how to make you say mercy, but he is gentle and he's kind. And he's good. And there are people here tonight, I believe, for physical healing. I believe there'll be people here tonight for marital healing. You come here, everything looks good on the outside, but it's hell on the inside. And you need the Spirit of God to pass by you tonight. I believe there are people right now watching online and people right here in the room that God's going to give you sexual healing and breakthrough from pornography and from lust. God's going to do big things. I believe there are people here that tonight is going to be the night that you give your life to Christ and you're going to step across the line of faith. I believe that and declare that in Jesus' name. It's going to be awesome. I want to preach to you when God leads his people forward. When God leads his people forward. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for today. God, I thank you for the great word, the great message that we heard today. God, help us to have crazy faith. Help us to be believers that are filled with the power of God. Yes. Lord, we have too many people that look the part. Right. Too many people, as Romans says, God, that they look like it, but they deny the power thereof. So I ask you tonight, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us tonight. God, we don't just need another service. God, we don't just need another gathering. God, we need you to do what only you can do. So let heaven fall tonight. God, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that would change not just our hearts, not just our lives, change generations, change our neighborhoods. God, change our families. God, change this county, the state, and our country. God, we want you and believe you to change the world. Lord, we pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem tonight, God. Raise up a hedge of protection around your people, we pray. God, for everything that's said and everything that's done, we'll give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Jesus, you must increase. I decrease. We need you, Jesus. We would see Jesus tonight. And I pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's jump into it. Let's jump into it. Would you stand back up? We're going to read Exodus 14 is where we're at. And something just happened that was so embarrassing to me. Y'all want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Come back tomorrow night. No. I'm not speaking tomorrow night. I'm going to tell you tonight. I got from my church and my wife's been telling me, you need to get your eyes checked. I just turned 48. And I was like, my eyes are good. I've always had 20/20. And I stood up on a Sunday morning. I held my Bible and I was like, I could feel it coming out like this. I was looking, and my church started laughing. Yeah. So guess who's going to get their eyes checked out? Gonna go get my eyes checked out. But you know what? I got a phone. I can see it on my phone. I can make it bigger on the phone. So let's jump into it. I'm gonna read the whole chapter. I don't need to read the chapter. I could tell you the story, but it's not my spin on the story that has power. It's not my interpretation or your interpretation. It's the word of God. I believe this is the word of God. I believe it. I believe that the word of God is God's breath on a page. Is what it is. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's breath on a page. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's good. It's helpful. It'll change your life. It can change your marriage. It can change your kids. It can change your mama and your daddies. It can do it. So I'm going to read from Exodus 14. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. By the way, if you don't read the Bible, we're going to miss God's instructions for us. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. I got to read the word. I got to get the word in me. Then the word changes me so I can be a change agent for the glory of God. You'll never do anything that will sustain itself apart from the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the word of God. You hear me? It will build a church, won't it? That's what worked for Acts and it worked for us. I got to preach this thing. Here we go. Let's go. Then the Lord God gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp, big word, by Pi-hahiroth. And you know what's crazy? Is sometimes God will tell you something crazy. They were supposed to be free. They'd been in slavery and bondage, and they finally get away from Egypt, and it looks like they're going to get out of Dodge, like completely, like get away from the past. And then God says, hey, tell the people to kind of turn around and just sit down. Sometimes before God can get you forward, God's got to get you to sit. God's got to get you to kneel. God's got to see. He's got to test the heart, see if we will listen and obey. And so he tells them something that's crazy. It's between Migdol and the sea. Camp there. When I say camp, he's saying wait there. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at waiting. It's my least on my spiritual gifts. Okay. I prayed for patience once. Only once. I'm a smart guy. I'm a learner. I prayed once and I realized God put that. He expedited my answer to that prayer with more opportunities for patience, for waiting. That's exactly right. So he tells them to camp. Don't think fun. Don't think camp like, oh man, this is amazing. Like we're having s'mores and we got chocolate and marshmallows. No, God says you just sit and wait. I wonder today, how many of you are in a waiting season? Okay. You're waiting for God to bring the right person your way. Okay. You're waiting for the next job. You're waiting for promotion. You're waiting for your investments to bounce back. I wonder how many people, you're waiting for a kid who was raised up in church, loving God, and they got away from God. You're waiting for a prodigal to come home. Right. Everybody here is waiting. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm waiting too. I'm waiting too. God told him to wait. Now watch this. To camp there along the shore across from Zel Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are confused. They're trapped in the wilderness. And once again, by the way, ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like him. It's all about him. It's always been about him. It will always be about him. Beside me, he said, there is no other. There's no other. Notice what he said. Watch this. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Proverbs says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As a rivers of water, God Almighty turns it whichever way he wants. Listen, God can change a heart. Some of you here, you're like, man, I need hope. There's someone, I need God. God can do it. He says right here, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I plan this in an order to display glory. God's all about his glory. God's about max glory. So good to see you guys. Love y'all. So glad y'all are here. Thank y'all. It's all about God's glory. And he's saying, I'm going to do this for my glory. Sometimes God will wait so he gets max glory. He could have showed up on day one as soon as Lazarus started coughing. As soon as he started getting sick. But he said, no. No, I'm going to wait. Why? So there's a miracle. Yeah. So more people will be there. So more people will see. More people will believe. So sometimes when we wait and it looks like it's never going to happen, it's for God to get maximum glory. Am I okay with that? Are you okay with that? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Let's keep reading. Here we go. Ready? And he says, I'm going to get glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know. That's the lost crowd. That's the unruly crowd. That's the evil crowd. The Egyptians will know. They won't guess. They're going to know. They will know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. The same Moses. What do I tell him? Who do I tell him? Send me. I am. Someone tell me. I am that I am. I am the Lord. So the Israelites camp there. Obedience. They camp there right where God said, as they were told. When God speaks clearly, we have to obey immediately. Right. Pastor, you referenced that this morning. When God speaks clearly, we got to obey immediately. There's some things I don't need to pray about. God says, do this. I don't got to pray about it. God says, don't do that. I don't got to pray about it. Well, I'm not sure. You know, I'm praying about whether I should sleep with them or not. We're not married, you know, but we're in love. There's some things you don't got to pray about. I'm so glad y'all talking back to me. Let's go. I love feedback. Let's go. Here we go. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done? Letting all those Israelite slaves, there it is, get away, they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and he called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. Then the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel who had left with fist raised in defiance. That's where it first started. That's the OG right there. That's OG right there. That was the first time this ever happened. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces and all the horses and all the king's horses and all the king's men. And Pharaoh's army, watch what happens. His charioteers, his troops, the Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pihahiroth, across from Baal Zephon. And Pharaoh approached. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and, what's the word?
Panicked.
When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord. Jesus! You ever done that before? It works. It works for salvation. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you can use that name anytime you need deliverance, anytime you need help. I'll tell you a quick story. We had this car race real fast called a Faster Pastor. There's pastors in our area. And so we were racing each other and we were like in real race cars, but they didn't have a mirror. And I've never watched NASCAR, but I think it's cool. And they strap me in and I can't breathe. And I'm like born to win. I'm a winner. Are you a winner? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. So I'm not going to let these other pastors beat me. For the glory of God, I'm going to whoop them. So we get in there. We start going around. And I think the race is over. There's one lap left. And it's me and this other guy. And I think it's over. And he comes up. He comes up. And the guy loses control. And all I see is white smoke. It's a smaller track. It's white smoke. I'm going about 60 miles per hour coming up on a turn. And when the smoke comes away, he's sideways. I'm getting ready to T-bone him. You know what I did? Jesus! I was as loud as I could. I don't know which angel I need to thank when I get to heaven, but somehow I look like a NASCAR driver. And the owner came up to me, who taught you how to drive? I said, you'd never believe it, man. You'd never believe it. You can call on his name. They're scared. Fear, panic, they cried out. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? They say eight things. Why'd you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why'd you make us leave Egypt? See, sometimes a leader does what God says, but the leader's the one that gets attacked. Because people aren't big enough, bold enough, strong enough to take it up with Jesus. So they just take it up with his servant, with his messenger. It's funny. It happened back then. It still happens today. It happened to... I got to keep preaching. All right, here we go. We told you, Moses, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. See, God had done something in Moses, so he was filled with God. So when that moment came, he was brave at least for a few seconds. How do you know? Well, keep reading the text. He has this great statement. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians will see today. They will see you. The Egyptians you see today, let's try it like that, it reads better, will never be seen again. Here's the verse. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. When life starts spinning out of control, you don't gotta be afraid. You can trust him. You can stay calm. Just stay calm. That's what he says. He has a moment. Woo, let's go. Come on, man of God. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Sometimes we are crying about our situation. Sometimes we are praying about our situation. And God just wants us to get up and do something. God wants us to get up and move. You know, faith is like at the end of the shovel. You know what I'm saying? God's going to do it, but you're going to dig it. He said, hey, stop crying out to me. Stop praying, Moses. Start moving. I wonder who's here watching online, and I wonder who's in the house at 1910 that you've been praying long enough, and God's like, you've been praying for years. Now you just need to take the step. Now you just need to. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Peter had to take a step out of the boat before he found out that the water was solid. Before he found out that Jesus was good for his work. Watch this. He says, hey, stop crying out to me. Stop crying out to me. Get moving. Turn to your neighbor and say, get moving. Get moving. Oh, here we go. All right, let's pick it up. He said, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. In Egypt, it was called his staff until he threw it down and surrendered it to God. And then it changed to the rod of God. See, the anointing is a game changer. The anointing is what we need. We need the anointing. And God says, you remember you're anointed. You remember what you've done before? By the way, God's not through with you. God's not through with you. God can do it again. And he says, pick it up and stretch it out. He's getting Moses to take action. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. By the way, is God telling all the people this? Who is God telling this to? He's just telling this to Moses, right? He's telling Moses, Moses, get up and do this. He's leading his leader. Yeah. That's important. Because point four tonight, we're going to talk about it. He says, I'm going to harden their hearts. They're going to come in after him. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that. Say it with me. I am the Lord. Then the angel of God, who'd been leading the people of Israel, how cool is this, moved to the rear of the camp. God's got angels between you and your enemies. God's got angels. You can't see them, but they're there. You wouldn't be where you are if they weren't where they are. He already got his angels in place. God will answer prayers that we never pray. God will do things that we need him to do that we don't even know that we need him to do. That's who God is. And I love this. This angel goes to the back. The pillar cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. God's a God of systems. God could have just spoke it and said, be dry, and it was dry. By the way, that's how he created the world, with his words. And you and I create our world with our words, right? The tongue has the power of death and life. So speak life. Speak life. Oh, I love it. So the people of Israel, they walk through. What God leads you to, God will bring you through. Yes. Maybe you're here in your health. My best friend, I got a text tonight. One of my best friends, his wife, just found out she got breast cancer. And they're standing at something real scary. But you know what? I found out through all these years, I've been young and now I'm a little older. But I found out that he never forsakes his kids. And we'll never beg for bread. And God is with us. And God was with them. And he used the wind to blow all night to accomplish the miracle. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, charioteers, they closed them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Y'all pray for me. My daughter turned 16. We're learning how to drive. Y'all pray for me. Woo, I'm calling on the name of Jesus daily. Let's get away from all these Israelites. The Egyptians shouted, the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. The Lord is fighting. See, God knows how to prepare a table for you and before you in the presence of your enemies. Psalm 23. See, some of us, we're hurting and we're in pain and we're like, this isn't fair, God. And why is this? And we're kind of complaining. And it just doesn't make sense, God. And why did that happen? Why did that? And if you're so good, then why, Jesus? And yet the truth is, God is making it look impossible so you'll know forever who the God of possible is. That what's impossible for man is not impossible for God. For with God, all things are possible. The Lord is fighting for them, they said, against Egypt. So they, when all the Israelites, not some, not most, when all the Israelites, what God brings you to, he'll bring you through. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back, cover the Egyptians and their chariots and their charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, here it is. Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots, the entire army of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one survived, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. As the water stood up like a wall on both sides. Come on. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And your day's coming too. Oh, God sent me all the way from Florida, Pensacola Beach, for me to tell you your day's coming too. There is a day where God says the miracle happens today. God, my God, God's already got your miracle on his calendar. It's already scheduled. He knows it. Don't give up. Don't give up. We're getting ready to be seated. But we stand at ball games, right? At least I do. I feel sorry for the people behind me in ball games. I'm like, I'm standing up. Here we go. The Lord rescued him. Watch this. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up. I didn't remember this one. As a kid in the story, I always thought, man, the water covered them up. There they were. All right, archaeology, let's go dig it up. No. They got to watch their enemies wash up. The same enemies that came to wash them up, that thought they were already washed up. You know, I'm gonna get to it in just a second. Look at this. Powerful. Powerful. The Lord rescued Israel. They watched the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. Thank you. You may be seated. I know I didn't finish that last part of the verse. I want to give you just a few things real quick. I want to give you 5 points. This is a word from God for you. You know how I know this? Because I was working on a series, an 8-week series. I was lining it out. And God, the Holy Spirit, just started speaking in my heart. I've never had it happen like it happened. Never had it happen like this. And I realized that, man, I was on holy ground. Because God gave me the title. And then God gave me point after point after point after point after point. I wish it was always that easy. Not always that easy. Sometimes I've been like, Jesus, like it's Friday. I'm a planner, but you know what? I don't want to outplan God. I don't want to get up and just say something. I want a fresh word. We went to a great Italian restaurant today, Maggiano's, and you know, like that bread. So good. Even the cold bread's good, but there's something about them bringing hot bread out. And then you open and you watch the steam come out. I'm like, I don't care how many calories. Dip that stuff right there. I leave a clean plate. You leave a clean plate, you know what I'm talking about? Dip it in and come on. Here's what God gave me. He said, Tim, the title is when God leads his people forward. Number one, when God leads his people forward, number one, there will be devils chasing you. There will be devils, plural, chasing after you. If there are no devils chasing after you, you might want to check out which way you're walking. See, because he won't mess with you if you walk in this way. The devil says, walk this way. I like that. I learned that one in Bible college. And so we start walking. No. Come on. But as soon as you say, you know what? I'm going to take a stand for the Lord. As soon as you're a husband here and maybe your family don't want to go to church, the kids don't want to go to church. Let me tell you something. I got a middle school boy. I tell him, take a shower. Listen, I don't want to, if I force him to go to church, I'm not talking about my son, I'm talking about yours now, because he knows the rule at our house. Ain't even a question, right? But the devil has some people deceived that, like, man, if I make my kid go to church, he's always going to hate God, so I'm just going to let him do whatever he wants to. He's a middle schooler. Yeah. He don't even take a shower when he's supposed to. And I love students. 17 years of ministry. If you're a student here, I love you. I'm not against you. I'm just saying we have to rise up as men. And like Joshua, we have to say, as for me and as for my house, we, not just I, not just some of us, but we will serve the Lord. And whenever you take a stand, whenever you decide to be God's man or God's woman, devils will chase after you. But don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. What do? We begin to praise God. We begin to praise him and thank him. Devils, I wonder what devils are coming after you. Don't go to Facebook and talk about it. Don't just put it all out there. Man, we got a friend in Jesus. Sticks closer than a brother. We can hit our knees. Let me tell you something. When you hit your knees, all hell trembles. When you hit your knees and when you raise your hands, hell takes notice. But I'm telling you something better than hell taking notice. Heaven takes notice. So whenever God leads his people forward, and God is moving this church forward. Are you kidding me? The worship, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, because you got two pastors that obey God. They were close enough to hear the voice of God and smart enough to obey the voice of God. They're worthy of double honor. You have devils. I want to tell you, as a pastor, I don't even got time to go there. You would not believe the devils that chase after. You would not even, you wouldn't even believe it. There's some devils don't even know they're a devil. Because they've been a devil so long, that's all they know. That's all they know. And they think they're saints. And I'm not sure. I've been telling them about a great church up here in Bernie, Texas. I was like, some of y'all need, no, I'm just kidding. I told you that. Every church has its devils. Jesus shows up in the temple. Jesus gets ready to read the word of God. And there are if there are devils when Jesus is in the house, you better believe there's going to be devils in your house. Whenever God leads his people forward, there'll be devils. Listen, 600 of them. And they were licking their chops. They thought they had them trapped, mountain and the sea. And they're camping right here. This whole thing's about hope. Hope has a name's first message I ever preached at our church. Hope has a name. I'm all about hope. You know how we lose hope? I'm going to tell you. We get hopeless when we're helpless. They lost hope. Why did they lose hope? Because they thought they were free. But you ain't free when the enemy's still chasing after you. And they thought, oh, happy day. And then they turn around and here they come. And Moses told them to stop. What an idiot. What a loser. What a horrible leader. Told us to stop. We could have been gone from them already. How are we going to get all these millions of people across the Red Sea? How are we going to do this? I can't believe. If nothing else, I'm blessing myself right now. Sometimes as a pastor, God asks you to do crazy things and people don't get it. And you take a stand for the Lord and all of a sudden, you got all these devils chasing after you. Verse 4 through 10, we read it. not only will there be devils chasing after you, but there will be an obstacle before you. There'll be an obstacle before you. They come to, how are we gonna do this? Maybe you've asked that question. How do I do this? How? I lost my spouse. How do I do this? I lost my job. How? I got kids. How do I do this? You lost your confidence. How do I do this? All of a sudden you start having anxiety and panic attacks, and maybe you hit depression and you don't know, how do I do this? How do I praise him in this storm? Right. By the way, we've heard it said, somebody said, I don't know who started it, but as I always say, with every new level, there's new devils. And the devils will see the same obstacle that you see and they'll think that they got you. They'll see the same obstacle that you see and they will think that they got you, but it's not over with. Number three, there will be miracles ahead of you. You can't get a miracle if you don't need one. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? See, the blind couldn't see if they weren't blind. The deaf couldn't hear if they weren't deaf. The mute couldn't speak. They weren't mute. And the dead can be raised back to life if they weren't dead. Sometimes the obstacles in front, let's just break it down and get personal. Like what obstacle is in front of you that you think God's not gonna come through because that's too big a miracle? So our church, Momentum, we launched it in 2012 and we've been debt-free. We've been multi-site, and we've been portable. You know what that means? A lot of 5 a.m. mornings and a lot of afternoons, like later before we get to go and have lunch. And God led us a certain way. And I'm like, God, how are we gonna ever do this? And then God made a way happen. We bought property and paid for it. And yeah, amen. And I just tell you, because I'm not the hero. Jesus is the hero. But I'm gonna tell you, I got in a position where I was like, God, I don't even know how we're gonna pay for this building. When it first started, Tim, it was 3 million. Now it's like 10 to 12 in the ballpark. At this point, I'm like, it's so much faith. It's all faith. And God is big enough. He's big enough. But the question isn't, is he big enough? The question is he big enough for me? Because he was big enough for the guys in the Bible, but you know, they like calling down fire and stuff. They were like there when Jesus raised his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law from the dead. We would never, no, I'm just joking. Sometimes you tell a joke for like one person in the room and one laugh, it's good. What miracle do you need? You know what, I'm praying right now. I'm like, God, I don't have it, but you do. Just because you don't have the ability doesn't mean God doesn't have the ability. I'm telling you. Number four, not only miracles, we already read all the miracles, right? Like God did all the stuff, we broke it down. Guys, y'all have an amazing church. Do you realize this church is a miracle? Yes. This church is a miracle. Yeah. Pastors tell me, man, y'all bought the land and paid for the land. Then you, like year three, paid the bill. That's a miracle. Yeah. That's a miracle. You have life change every week. That's a miracle. Those are modern day miracles. Someone comes and gives their life to Jesus. That's a miracle. They got rescued from hell, taken to hell. That's a miracle. The blind can see. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Oh, this next point though, I'm excited about this one because not only will there be miracles ahead of you, but there will be something required of you. There will be faith required of you. Faith. Well, the text, and I do want to go back. I do want to look at this one verse. I love this. Watch this. Verse 31, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed, I love that word, against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They were filled. Are you filled? Are you still filled? They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. There will be faith required from you. the day I was born. I was bad. That was my ringtone forever. I love that ringtone. My wife says, stop lying. Stop lying, Tim. Let me tell you something. When they saw what God did, they said, you know what? We're going to put our faith in God. And it was evident because they put their faith in God's man. Don't be the type of churchgoer that thinks like you got all this faith in God and yet you can't put your faith in God's man. My God, if I had a mic, I would drop it right now. My church, I do it. The producer's like, no, Pastor Tim. You see, you don't know what it feels like to be Moses. You don't know what it feels like to have all the weight and all the pressure from all the people. And you don't know what it feels like to love people and be there for people. And then those people that you've loved and bled for and sacrificed and been there turn on you so fast. And not just once. I would encourage you. You know the greatest thing you can do for this church? Greatest thing you can do for this community? Put your faith in God and put your faith in God's pastors here at this church. And be with them heart and soul. Yeah, don't turn on them. I want to tell you something too. They didn't tell me to say any of this. I'm just a pastor. I want to tell you something. Church staff come and go. How long y'all been here? 17 years. Every church has church staff come and go. Every. In 2020, we had 80% turnover on our staff. Why? Because the whole world, like we didn't know if we could find toilet paper. That'll make people crazy right there. And as a pastor, I'm like, I gotta feed these people. And they're all staying home. Working, I'm not sure. But we were working. You know, the nights you stayed up praying and the tears and all. I'm telling you something. Don't put your eyes on the church staff. That's a message right there. Maybe you can have me back. I'll preach that one. Listen, don't put your eyes on the church staff. Your pastors, love them, trust them, put them up before people and say, trust these guys. And then sometimes those are the ones, like Bishop T.D. Jakes said, that there's a Judas at every table and they're close enough to kiss you. I'm just telling you straight. I'm telling you. Don't be that kind of person. Something, if God's going to move his people forward, there will be faith required from you. Faith in God Almighty. But not just vertical faith, horizontal faith. Because faith without works is dead. So I'm gonna stand behind God's man. I'm gonna hold his hands up. I'm gonna hold her hands up. I'm gonna pray for them. I'm gonna encourage them. I'm gonna watch God do miracles. Because God's leading his church forward. Oh, but the last point is the best point. There will be a God who is for you. There will be a God who is for you. All through the story, we see that God was for them. God was for them. It was God's idea. God unpacked the story. God told Moses ahead of time, this is what I'm going to do. Moses is like, you sure about that? You sure, Lord? Okay. All right. Run that play. Okay. God was for him. Listen, God's for you. God is for you. That should make you go from helpless, hopeless, to hope. Yes. And you know what the church needs? And I'm going to close. You know what the church needs? Man, we need Christians that have hope. Because yes. The world can't fabricate hope. That's right. The world can't produce hope. Right. Hope is from above. Yes. Hope is holy. Yes. That's why Scripture says in 1 Peter, hey, be ready to give everyone an answer of the hope that's within you. Yes. We ought to be so dealing hope. And people are like, what they got going on over there? Is that dope? They're like, no, it's not dope. It's hope. And they're like, well, I got to smoke some hope because I already tried the dope, but the dope didn't work. So bring on the hope. That's what I want to. Oh, it works. It works. Because hope has a name, and his name's Jesus. Oh, I want to finish with this scripture. I want to finish with this and I'm done. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There will be a God who is for you. And what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the takeaway. If God be for me, who can be against me? Tomorrow, Monday morning, if God be for me in the boardroom, if God be on the sales floor, if God be for me on as a nurse, if God be for me as a teacher, if God be for me, who can be against me? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, including you. Well, I don't deserve him. Jump in line. None of us did. Won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us? By the way, the devil is accuser of Christians. Yes. Remember Job's story. Lord, Lord, Lord. There goes Job. He's accusing him. Who dares accuse us from whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us, was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Man of God died this morning. One of the pillars of this church, a house burnt down. Yesterday, when we have trouble and we have calamities, that mean God doesn't love us anymore? Or if we're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. That means it's mine. That means it's yours. That means it's all of ours. And it's through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, we saw it this week, or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever, that's good news, church, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you give him praise? Nothing can separate you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you come up to. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like, because I know who he is and I know what he's done and I know he'll do it for you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When God leads his people forward, oh, the devil's chasing after you. Obstacles in front of you, ahead of you. Miracles before you. Something required from you. But don't ever forget, there'll be a God who is who's for me. And sometimes it's not the problem with God. If I'm being honest, it's the problem with me. I got faith in God. I just don't got faith in me. Maybe you're there. And God says, I'm no respecter of persons. I'd like to call the prayer ministry team forward, if you would, if y'all would step up. I wanna open a time for prayer, a time for God to move, a time for God to work. Here's what I believe. I believe there are people here, and this is the truth. Watch, you're on the edge. Does this make you nervous? You're on the edge and you feel like giving up. You're on the edge and you're like, man, I'm just hopeless, helpless. There's God can, because he's God, but I don't think he will. You got to change your thinking to change your speaking, to change what you're receiving. But I believe in this room that there's some people that you are weary and you are burdened. And Jesus is saying, come to me, come, come, come. I will give you rest. He knows the rest you need. Yeah. He will give you the rest. And I'm telling you, when you get rest, hope rises. Yes. When you get rest, hope rises. Yes. I believe there's some people here, and God said this to me earlier, that there's some people here, and you have a block. There's something blocking you from that miracle, and it's unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. And they don't deserve it. They never deserve it. But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But he offered it to us, so we got to offer it to others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And forgiveness isn't easy, but it's worth it. Let it flow. Let it flow tonight. Just a minute, we're going to open this up. I'm going to ask you to come. If you're a Christian, if there's something between you and Jesus, don't leave tonight. Don't take a bite of dessert if you haven't tasted the sweetness of being near the Savior. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, tonight is the night of salvation. It's the night of salvation. All you have to do is you have to confess that you're a sinner. And you have to believe that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you, because he is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. If he went for you, he wouldn't have died for you. So he's for you. And he didn't just stay dead. 3 days later, everyone found out, can't keep the God man down. He's alive. He's out of the tomb. He's risen. He's as much alive today as he was the first resurrection Sunday. He's alive today. And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's the mission of the church, 1910. It's the mission of this church. And if you're here and you're lost without him, listen, settle it right here tonight. Settle it right here tonight. God, I pray that you would do a work, Holy Spirit, through your power right now. God, I pray that you would move. God, we can't do this. This is a God thing. I preach your word. I preach a message that you gave me. Now, God, I pray for your glory and only your glory. God, I pray that you would move. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for people, God, they can hear the enemy chasing them down. God, I pray that they would look up. I pray they come forward and pray. God, I pray for people that all they can see is the obstacle, but they can't see the opportunity. I pray they come forward and get a breakthrough in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those, Lord, that stand in need of a miracle tonight, with physical healing or spiritual healing or emotional healing or sexual healing or relational healing, whatever healing needs to happen, Jesus. We speak your name, Jesus. We speak your name, Jesus. God, I pray for the man that's here tonight that's not a Christian. I pray tonight he put his faith and trust in you. I pray for those watching online that are not Christians, that they need the hope. I pray tonight would be their night. And here's how we're going to do this, guys. We're going to go first to the Christians real quick. If you're a Christian and you need to pray, please come pray. Would you do it? Would you step out right now? Would you step out right now, wherever you are? God spoke to your heart. You know there's something you need to ask for forgiveness for. There's, God, I gotta do something about this. Maybe it's just like, God, I'm just in a waiting season and I'm gonna keep waiting and trusting you. But you just wanna declare it. I want you to come. Nineveh wouldn't have got right until Jonah got right. So Christians lead the way. I'm talking about Christians right now. I want Christians to step out. I want men that you know God wants you to be the man, the godly man of your house. And it's time for you to step up and step out. Talking to people, your eyes are on the fact that you got anxiety. The eyes are on the fact you're just staring at the giant of depression. That's the obstacle, but the miracle's coming. I want you to step out. And then if you're here and you're not a Christian, I want to lead you in a sinner's prayer. You're not going to go through me to get to God. I just got the microphone. You're going to pray right to God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it's not just saying everything just perfect. It's putting all your faith and trust in Christ. So you're watching online. Would you pray it with me? You're here in the house. Every person, would you pray it out loud so no one prays it alone? Repeat after me. Would you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Tell him what kind of sinner you are. Take a second. Tell them what kind of sinner you are. Confess your sins. I need a Savior. Say it with me. I need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for shedding your blood to forgive my sins. Today I declare that Jesus is the Savior. I want you to be my Savior. I believe you died, I believe you were buried, I believe you rose again. And tonight, I give you my life. I receive your life. Now teach me how to live. Teach me how to live. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come forward. I want to meet you. Would you do that? Would you come forward? I want you to step out. 5 seconds of courage. I want you to come forward. You can do it. You can do it. I promise you, you'll never regret doing it. Well, I'm too young. That's all right. I'm too old. That's all right. People thought I was already Christian. That's all right. I want you to step out. On the count of three, would you do it? I'll meet you right down here. 1, 2, 3. Right now, would you step out? Would you come? You're watching online? Let us know, would you? Let us know.
Pastor Tim is down front tonight. He's ready to meet you. Come to give your life to Jesus right now. We're not going to miss this moment. This could be the very reason you came right here. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's running after me. All my life, you have been faithful. Come on, don't miss this moment. Come on down. Yes. All my life, you have been. It's been good to anybody. Don't miss your breakthrough moment tonight. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Angie, will you step? Would you step up, Pastor Angie, right here? Sing of the goodness of God. Don't miss it. Come on. Hallelujah. Right here. Come on. We welcome you.
All my life you have been.
Come on, hasn't he been good to us? He's so good. Let's give him glory.
With every breath that I am able.
Hallelujah. Come on, some, God's doing some work in people's lives tonight. Can we give him a round of applause right here? Hey, listen, I want to ask those that have given their life to the Lord tonight to make their way. Pastor Angie, I'm going to ask you guys, Pastor Tim, those that are here tonight, our ministry team is over here. Can we have our ministry team leaders lead them over? Lisa, would you lead them over to our main office area here tonight? Just make yourself available. Don't miss this moment tonight. Listen, I know there's a lot of things screaming for our attention afterwards, but don't miss this moment tonight. We are glad you're here. Aren't you glad that God sent Pastor Tim Payne tonight to challenge us? Aren't you thankful for the time of singing worship we had this evening? God is so good, so good. This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning tonight. Pastor Tim Payne, thank you for challenging us. Listen, Wheeling, West Virginia, Bridgeport, Ohio, walked into the house. Mooresville walked into the house tonight. Pastor Tim and Linda Seiler from West Virginia, Ohio, whatever, they're in the house that will be with us tomorrow night. We are honored to have you here tonight. You're not going to want to miss a single night. For those of you watching online, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be back in the house tomorrow night at 7. So listen, here's the deal. We've got some snacks, and I've been out there, and they are good. We want to encourage you, if you can, to stick around and hang out with us and consume some non-caloric foods with us tonight. Have a chance to meet somebody, shake a hand, make a friend. If you have kids in our kids area, hey, this is not a lock-in. You need to go get those kids. We are not watching them overnight. But go grab your kid first And we'll have some great snacks together tonight. Hey, as the people of God, let's live as the people of God. If God is for us, no one can be against us. Thank you. We will see you out in the atrium or tomorrow night. Thank you.